Well, circuit riding preacher went to one of his churches to preach. He gave his son a penny to put in the offering. He had prepared for himself a quarter, and they were going to give that in the offering that day. And when he preached, they took the offering, gave it to him. He came out of the church on his way to his next church, and they gave the offering to his son. And he said, "Son, did you get our offering?" He said, "Yes, Dad, they gave it to me." He said, "Well, how much did we get?" He said, "We got 26 cents. He said, "Well, Dad, I put my penny in." The dad said, "I put my quarter in. That bunch didn't give us a thing." That little boy had enough God on him. He looked back to his dad and said, "Well, Dad, I guess if we'd have put more in, we'd have got more out." Amen. So that's the way I feel about this meeting. I always get more out of it than I feel like I put into it. And God has spoke to my heart and drawn me up. And I've enjoyed the Rochesters as usual. I've enjoyed the preaching of the Word of God as usual. And I ask that you pray for us like you were the one up here preaching and you would want me to pray for you. John chapter 19 in your Bible. John chapter 19. I'll try to be quick with this, but just see if the Lord will let me set an atmosphere here in our midst this evening. Pray for Brother Bob as he prepares for tonight. Wasn't that wonderful last night? I never have seen the Beatitudes of Revelation, but I did ask Brother Bob, "Can I use that?" And I'm going to tell him it's mine. I'm going to say, "Look what God gave me." No, I'll use Brother Bob's name. John chapter 19, verse number 1 in your Bible. Would you stand with me, please, while I read my Bible to you this evening? If you're not able, that's all right. Just remain seated. But John chapter 19, look at verse number 1. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." Well, if you're not careful, you'll pass over that. That scourging was an awful experience within itself. They say that cat of nine tails is a whip that has nine strands of leather coming out of it. On the end of the leather is tied bone, metal, and glass. And it rips the flesh as they beat the subject. The metal and bone and glass penetrate the skin and literally grab hold of bones and jerk ribs out of their socket. How much we're loved this evening. Don't tell me nobody loves you. He loves you. And don't pass over verse number 1. Look at verse 2. "And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Now, purple was the color of royalty. It was an act of mockery for them to put on the color of royalty in his acclamation as king of Israel. Look at verse 3. And said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Envision this with me today, and I'm trying to get it read. But to take their bare hand and slap him in the face. With repeated blows, they struck our Savior and smote him with their hands. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, as we approach your throne, it is, Lord, with the broken heart this evening. Lord, as we think about what you went through so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be saved and stand here today and proclaim the word of God, how much you love us. And Lord, I ask you today to bless this time of preaching. Lord, you've asked me to do something that's bigger than I am. I find myself inadequate. And the only thing that I have to offer is Benny Hatfield. But Lord, I give myself to you. I pray that you would let my thoughts be your thoughts and my words be your words. And may I be so anointed that I would say what Jesus Christ would say if you were standing where I am. Lord, speak to everyone under the sound of my voice. Draw us close to you. And close together, we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you might be seated. This afternoon, I want to bring to your attention verse number 7, where the Bible said the Jews answered him, "We have the law, and by our law, he ought to die, because," here's why, "he made himself a God," the Son of God. He made himself the Son of God. When I begin to look at this passage of Scripture, that little statement that is, he made himself stood out at me. And I thought, even though they were a bunch of rebels, even though they have a kangaroo court, even though they are wrong in what they're doing, God still uses them to say the right thing. Isn't it amazing when the Lord even uses the devil? Isn't it amazing when he came upon that shore and got out of that ship? And the Bible says there was a man possessed with so many devils that his name was Legion. And those devils began to tremble on the inside of him. He must have thought to himself, I don't know who's in that ship, but if I can get to him, something's bound to happen. And so he made his way down. And in that encounter between Legion and the man, we find out the man was the Lord Jesus. And Jesus actually had a conversation with those demons. And they besought him that he would send them into the herd of swine. And the Bible said Jesus gave them leave. I'm here to tell you today, if my Savior is going to answer the prayer of a demon, and I can't get a prayer through, I'm going to get on my knees and figure out what's wrong with Benny Hatfield. Sometimes it's as though our prayers bounce off the ceiling. But Jesus used the demons. And here he uses the chief priests and the scribes. And because he made himself, all I want to say to you this afternoon is, you got that right. He made himself. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I have a God that has the power to make himself. And he is. We have a president now that claims to be a self-made billionaire. But I've got something better than that. I've got a Savior that made himself the God of the universe. And I know him. Hallelujah. But that ain't the best part. The best part is, he knows me by name. And he calls my name. Amen. And here we sit with our prayers bouncing off the ceiling. And we don't even have enough spirituality to draw nigh to God that he may draw nigh to us. I want to say to you that he made himself. God can use anybody upon the face of this earth. And if he isn't using you, you better find you an altar somewhere today and figure out what it is that's hindering him from using you. Amen. My wife and I were praying for my dad way back in about 2000. We were praying that God would save my daddy. And I was in a meeting. I've told this story here before, but let me do it for sake of the message. I was in a prison revival with the Rock of Ages in Boonville, Missouri, about halfway between Kansas City and St. Louis. And at midnight, a man broke into my motel room with a 12-gauge shotgun and tried to rob us. I told my wife later on, I said, that's the dumbest crook that has ever tried to commit a crime. He is loco. She said, why do you say that? Because there were lawyers there. There were doctors there. He tried to rob an independent Baptist preacher. Amen. And he came in. I don't know how I done it because I'm not a tough guy. But God empowered me. And I was able to take the gun away from him, strike him over the head with it, and break it in 3 different pieces. And he was so drunk that he still ran out of my room. We were riding down the freeway on our way home because my wife said, I can't stay in another motel. Take me home. So I called the team and said, y'all go on with the revival. I've got to take my family home. And we're riding down Interstate 70. And I'm praying in the secrecy of my heart. And I'm trying to understand, God, why did you let that happen? I want you to know that I'm a preacher. I did not come up here by choice, but you led me up here, and then you allowed this to happen. And I was somewhat angry at God. And the Lord laid upon my heart Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. And when God gave me that verse, I got even more angry. And I said to him in the secrecy of my heart, if that's the best verse you've got, leave me alone. I'm ashamed of it now. But I was going through a trial. I didn't understand why it had to happen. It didn't make sense to me. But God said all things work together for good. So we rode down the freeway to Alabama. Me and God were not speaking. I got home, my telephone rang, and on the other end was my daddy. And we began to talk. He said something was wrong. He said, Ben, what happened? And I gave him the story. And I began to cry as I explained what my family went through. And so he hung up the phone. I hung up mine and went on about my day. About 30 to 45 minutes later, my phone rang again. And on the other end, once again, was my dad. And he said, "Ben, I've got something I want you to do for me." I said, "What is it, Daddy?" He said, "I want you to get your Bible." My daddy ain't ever asked me to get my Bible. Matter of fact, when I pulled it out, he often would leave the room. "But now," he says, "get your Bible." So I had Adam to get my Bible. He brought it back to me. And I said, "Okay, Daddy, I've got my Bible." He said, "Son, I want you to read a verse to me." I said, "Where's it at, Daddy?" Now, this is a drunkard down in the state of Florida. Long way from God. And on the other end of the line, my dad said, "Son, read out loud Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I begin to weep. I said, "Daddy, I don't have to read it. I've already looked at it." He said, "Read it aloud to me, Ben." And I read that verse to my daddy. Over on the other end of the line, I heard my dad begin to weep. He said, "You know what, Ben?" He said, "I didn't even know where my Bible was." He said, "It's been so long since I read it. It took me a while to locate it." But he said, "I remembered a verse that I read one day, and I thought that it might help you. And it was Romans 8. And verse 28. And you know what God did? God flooded my soul and said, "I was trying to tell you up there in Missouri. I was trying to show you that I know you don't understand, but through this, I'm going to get your daddy's Bible open." Amen. God can use a thief. God can speak to a devil. Because he is a self-made God. Amen. And I get to walk with him every day. I get to serve him every day. Fellowship. Driving down the road. Hallelujah. I'm already about to rupture. I tell you, sometimes it's good while you're driving to pray. You just learn, don't close your eyes. And praying to him. I remember Brother Bob praying one day while I was driving. I stopped at a red light. Did you ever get the feeling somebody's staring at you? I looked over to my right, and in a pickup truck was a blonde-headed man with hair about down to here. And he was sitting there watching me. And he had a faraway look on his face. I was praying, sitting at a red light.
and tears were running down my face. Brother Noah Broughton is my pastor. He said just the other day I was listening to the radio. Brother David played a song and he said I began to weep. He said I pulled up to a red light, looked over to the vehicle at my side, and a dear lady had her hand up in the air waving at God. He said, I said to myself, she's listening to the same song. And he had revival. She had revival. You said, how, Brother Hatfield? By a self-made God. That even when an archangel tries to overtake his throne, he'll boot him out. He will not be outdone. I want to preach today a message entitled, He Made Himself. He Made Himself. Do you know the Bible says, and God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Do you know to form, you got to get down where it is. Gets more. And pat it. That word form indicates that he had a pattern to go by. I would not be surprised when we get to heaven if Adam and Jesus don't look a whole lot alike. Because he formed man out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says this self-made God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. And man became a living soul. A living soul means you're eternal. But yet we've attended funerals. We've had family and friend to pass through the portals of death. But you are one of two today. You're either going to live forever in heaven or you'll die forever in hell. But you are an eternal being. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. He made himself. What a God that we're here to worship today. Not a reject, not a second hand, but an original. There ain't nothing like him. He made himself. Do you know when he came into this world, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. So in other words, you can't die unless you got sin. Do you know if Jesus had not have been murdered, he would still be alive today? Amen. He had to have someone to take his life. And they did that. How come, Brother Hatfield? Because he made himself. And whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. I'm glad I serve a big God. Do you know there is not a square molecule or an atom that he does not occupy the space of that perimeter. If you go into yesterday, he's still there remembering what you did. If you enter into tomorrow, he's there waiting, ready for your arrival. But if you remain here today, he's the blesser, he's the leader, and he is the anointer. He made himself. I say to you, he made himself because of his birth. No one ever had a birth like he had. Do you know he's still the only baby that when he was born on this earth was the same age as his daddy and older than his mother? That's the kind of God we serve. Do you know in the birth process, man has the chromosome X and Y. And the woman has double X. And if that chromosome is an X, it'll be a female baby. If that chromosome is a Y, it'll be a male child. The man is who determines the sex of a baby. The man. Mary was alone in her room, probably having devotions and prayer. And the Holy Ghost of God came in where she was and said, "Hail Mary, for thou shalt be with child." She said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" He said, "That which is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost." And a virgin girl that had never known a man conceived a baby. And the wonderful thing about that conception is that she conceived with no male chromosome. And yet when that baby was born, it was a male child. Totally impossible. Oh, but you got to understand, he made himself. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, my baloney. Amen. I'm here to tell you, Mary isn't to be prayed to. Brother Bob read last night in Revelation, and two times John fell down before that angel and tried to worship him. And that angel said, "See thou do it not. I'm thy fellow laborer." And how come? Because the Bible says that we're to worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He made himself because of his birth. No one ever had a birth like Jesus had. He made himself because of his baptism. John was baptizing in the River Jordan, and the Jews were coming by the multitudes. And John was preaching, "The Messiah's coming. The Messiah's coming. I'm the forerunner. I'm the spirit of Elijah. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And John was baptizing. I read one day that when John baptized, it was usual for the Jew to remain in the water and confess all their sins before they left the water. They confessed that I'm an adulterer. I am a thief. They confessed all their sins. But one day John looks up and sees Jesus coming. And he said, here comes the Son of God. And John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, for now it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized him. There's a little statement in that verse. If you don't watch it, you'll miss it. And it says, and straightway Jesus came up out of the water. All them Jews standing around said he didn't confess. He didn't name his sin. You know why he didn't name his sin? Because he made himself. He's a self-made God. And he is the one that put the stars in the heavens. Put Mars, Jupiter, Pluto out there for his own sake. No telling what all we have not discovered yet that God did. I like that thing Brother Durbin did about seven, didn't you? But he made himself with that little statement, and straightway Jesus come up out of the water. He had no sin to confess whatsoever. I say he made himself because he wrote a book. He's a self-made God because he wrote a book while he was here. You said, what's that book called? We know it is Bible. The inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that we have in our possession today. For the English speaking people, that old time King James Bible. And I'll die for it. I'll never preach another one besides the old King James. Matter of fact, yesterday I said to Brother Lawrence, I said, we are the remnant. We're the ones left from John the Baptist. We're it. If we lower our standards, then this thing is going to be in a lot of trouble. But things are as good as they are because God has him a remnant. And it ain't the Southern Baptists. Forgive me, I'm not trying to be mean. It ain't the Methodists. It ain't the Presbyterian. It ain't the Catholic. But it's these little churches sitting on the side of the road that have independent fundamental written upon them. And by the way, I make no apology. That's what I am. And if I didn't believe it was right, I've got enough grace about me, I'd go out and start whatever is right. Why? Because he made himself. What a God that we serve. 66 books and not an error in it. Never has there been one statement in that book that harmed any person. Not a one. As a matter of fact, this book has built character in our lives. No wonder the Bible itself says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Because he wrote a book and he's a self-made God and he gave me his book. If all these other versions are all right, then evidently my grandfather didn't have a Bible. He preached 42 years. I say to you today, he had a Bible. And it was the old King James Bible. It's not a version, it's a Bible. Amen. It's still the number one seller in the world. How come, Brother Hatfield? Because of its author. He made himself. Thank God this afternoon he wrote a book. He had a baptism. He had a birth. But thank God this afternoon he made himself because he's got a bride. Amen. Who is that bride, Brother Hatfield? Take your right hand and grab your left one and shake hands with it. What do you mean? I mean we are the bride of Christ. I never did understand that. A man gets saved and he's called a bride. A girl gets saved. She's called a son of God. I don't understand that. But I sure am enjoying the ride. Amen. So grab your other hand and shake hands with yourself. Put your arms around you. Because we are the bride that's going to be married. Amen. Blessed are they, Brother Bob. That's what he said. Blessed are they. I'm looking forward to that ceremony. Well, a lot we could say about that. But I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Look with me in Hebrews 10, verse number 5. Hebrews 10, verse number 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body hast thou prepared me. He's a self-made God because of his birth, because of his baptism, because of his book, because of his bride. But I close today and say, because of his body. Now let me close with this one. Before he came, he was the God of all heaven. The one that when Jacob had his dream and seen a ladder reaching up into the heavens and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder, at the top of it says, there stood the Son of God. When did he begin, Brother Hatfield? He's always been. He's always been in existence. He's a self-made God. And one day I'm going to walk into his presence. I have that promise. And so do you if you're saved. Nobody knows if you're saved but you. You may be doubting it. If you are, you better nail her down. Because we don't want to take a chance on doubting our salvation. But one day I'm going to walk into his presence. And when I look at him, I will say to him, "You look like I did before you came. I was wounded by the sins of the world. I was destined to a devil's hell. I was marred by the world." And the Bible said when he comes back, Israel will ask him, "Where did you get those wounds in your hands?" Not scars. Don't sing that song about no scar. It ain't in your Bible. It's a wound. I asked Dr. Dixon, my Sunday school teacher, the other day. I said, "Dr. Dixon, if you were told by your nurse that you have a wounded patient in this room, what would it mean to you?" He said, "It would be an open infraction requiring immediate attention." When I look at him, he is wounded by Calvary. And I'll say, "I look like that before you came." And I look like you did before you came. You know what? He traded places with. He took your place and went yonder to Calvary. That should have been my crown of thorns. That should have been my nails in the hands and feet. That should have been my sword in the side. That should have been my cat of nine tails scourge. But he took my place. How wonderful is eternity going to be? He made himself and then traded places with me. And so shall they ever be